All right, good evening. If you could turn in your Bibles to the book of Ruth in chapter 4. We'll be reading verses 1 through 13, the first part of verse 13. Ruth chapter 4. Verses 1 through 13, if we can all stand for the reading of God's word. Ruth chapter 4. Now Boaz had gone up to the gate and sat down there. And behold, the Redeemer of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz said, "Turn aside, friend, sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit down here." So they sat down. Then he said to the Redeemer, "Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, is selling a parcel of land that belonged to our relative Elimelech. So I thought I would tell you of it and say, buy it in the presence of those sitting here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not, tell me, that I may know, for there is no one besides you to redeem it, and I come after you." And he said, "I will redeem it." Then Boaz said, "The day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you also acquire Ruth the Moabite, the widow of the dead, in order to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance." Then the Redeemer said, "I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I impair my own inheritance. Take my right of redemption yourself, for I cannot redeem it." Now this was a custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging. To confirm a transaction, the one drew off his sandal and gave it to the other. And this was the manner of attesting in Israel. So when the Redeemer said to Boaz, "Buy it for yourself," he drew off his sandal. Then Boaz said to the elders of and all the people, "You are witnesses this day that I have bought from the hand of Naomi all that belonged to Elimelech and all that belonged to Chilion and to Mahlon. Also Ruth the Moabite, the widow of Mahlon, that I have bought to be my wife, to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brothers and from the gate of his native place. You are witnesses this day." Then all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your house like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. May you act worthily in Ephrathah and be renowned in Bethlehem. And may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring that the Lord will give you by this young woman." So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that as we have the opportunity to study your word, to meditate on your word, to think about the truths that are contained in this word, we pray that you would allow our hearts to be enlightened to the measure of grace you have given us. Heavenly Father, change us from one degree of glory to another as we gaze upon the glory found in the Scripture. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you may be seated. So the book of Ruth, as we are coming into the home stretch here, the book of Ruth has two main themes. The first, and I would say the major theme, is the providence of God. And as defined by the Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 5, paragraph 1 says, "God, the great creator of all things, doth uphold, direct, dispose, and govern all creatures, actions, and things, from the greatest even to the least, by his most wise and holy providence, according to his infallible foreknowledge, in the free and immutable counsel of his own will, to the praise of the glory of his wisdom, power, justice, goodness, and mercy." And then the last paragraph says, In paragraph 7 of that same chapter, it says, as the providence of God doth in general reach to all creatures, so after a most special manner it taketh care of his church and disposeth all things to the good thereof. And so this book is about providence, God governing and having all things happen to his praise, to the praise of his glory. And to his people, the church, their special experience in this lifetime is actually the second major theme of the book of Ruth, which is redemption. The ultimate good of the people of God is redemption. As Ruth was redeemed and made the bride of the Redeemer, so the church is redeemed and made the bride of Christ. Redemption is many things, and we're gonna talk briefly about that. Redemption is many things, but in our text, the focus I want to look at is the fact that redemption requires a purchase. It is something that is being bought. And so something that can be redeemed by being purchased. The story of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is how God is redeeming everything in heaven and on earth. And how God is also redeeming everything to his greatest glory. So our big idea for tonight is this. A redeemer redeems by purchasing what he is redeeming. A redeemer redeems by purchasing what he is redeeming. So our first heading for tonight is redemption as purchase. Redemption as purchase. Our first question is this a biblical idea? Is this something found within the scriptures? That redeeming is also purchasing. And it's important because if it's not something found within the scriptures, then what Boaz is doing doesn't really foreshadow, it doesn't really reflect, it doesn't really picture that which Christ does. And so it's important to our study tonight. And so, we'll just do a quick survey, a couple verses here. Where is the Bible then speaking of redemption as being a purchase? Where else does the Bible speak in this manner? Well, I think it's interesting. The book of Exodus in chapter 15, in the Song of Moses, verses 15 and 16, it says, "Now are the chiefs of Edom dismayed, trembling seizes the leaders of Moab. All the inhabitants of Canaan have melted away. Terror and dread fall upon them because of the greatness of your arm. They are still as stone. Till your people, O Lord, pass by. Till the people whom you have purchased." And so immediately after the Exodus, which is the gospel of the Old Testament, Moses is referring to the people of God as a purchased people. You know, they were also a redeemed people as well. Another place where we see this is the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. And chapter 43 is a very well-known verse, but it talks about this. Okay, Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 4. It says, "But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life." So God is talking about, I have redeemed you, I've called you by name, I did so by ransoming, paying Egypt for your freedom, Egypt for you as a nation. Cush and Seba, he he would exchange and purchase the people with men. The next verse is Psalm 74, verses 1 through 2. It says, "O God, why do you cast us off forever? Why does your anger smoke against the sheep of your pasture? Remember your congregation, which you have purchased of old, which you have redeemed to be the tribe of your heritage." And there, as we have a poetic form, so we see a parallelism. You have purchased this people. You have redeemed these people. And so, here we have an idea of, okay, we see how redemption and purchase within the Scriptures, at least in some places, work together. So let's ask the more specific question. What exactly then is redemption? What does it mean to be redeemed? And redeemed has definitions that range from purchase or restoration or reform. So in the Bible, some of the major ideas of redemption have to do with both purchasing and restoration. There's a purchase that takes place, and there's also a restoration. Both these ideas are valid in the scope of the Bible. That's part of what redemption is. And redemption probably could be characterized as far more things, but these are the two major themes in which redemption is. It's a purchase and a restoration. And so God in the Old Testament initially established Israel. So he purchased them, he redeemed them initially, and then he continued to redeem them as they would go through times of falling away and restoration. So God redeemed them initially out of Egypt and then continually redeemed them as he renewed his covenant with them, as he brought them out of the slavery of their sin and continued to reform them and restore them. And obviously that took place, as we know, like the book of Judges, took place after a repentance of some sort. But the idea is that he's restoring them and redeeming them constantly. And so they were redeemed by a blood. They were redeemed by a purchase. That's what Isaiah 43 talks about. They gave men, right? Israel was redeemed not only with the blood of the firstborn from Egypt, where that nation was destroyed, but also they were saved by the blood of the Lamb. There was a purchase of blood. And so redemption in the idea in the Bible has ideas of purchase and restoration. And it's really important as we think about, you know, the purchase and restoration. What we're thinking about today primarily is purchase. We're not so much focused on the restoration aspect of redemption. But it is, those are the ideas within the Scriptures. And so, for some of you younger kids, an idea of redemption is something like this. If you were at an arcade, and I guess maybe we don't have too many of those today, but at arcades, you used to get tickets for playing games. If you did a really good job, you get a bunch of tickets. And so if you had enough tickets, you could redeem those tickets in exchange for something else, whether it be a bouncy ball for a few tickets or a stuffed animal for a whole ton of tickets. It was a way to redeem your tickets for something else. You were qualified by the amount of tickets you were able to win. And so that's just an idea, a more general idea of what it means to redeem. But that's a purchase. Obviously, in some sense, you bought those tickets, you acquired those tickets, and then those tickets became the means of purchase. So let's think about purchase in our text here, the purchase of Boaz. That's our second heading for tonight, the purchase of Boaz. So Boaz sets out to redeem Ruth, but another redeemer has a right to Naomi, to Elimelech's land, and therefore Ruth first. So Boaz asks the man if he will redeem the land. And upon a yes, I will redeem the land, Boaz then informs the man that Ruth goes with the land. Oh, by the way, as soon as you redeem this land, you will have Ruth the Moabite as well. And it's at that saying that the closer redeemer backs out of the deal. He says, I can't do it. I don't want to impair my own inheritance. So I can't redeem it. I'm not going to do that. And so the other man and Boaz then seal this transaction with the removal of the sandal. Now we know from Deuteronomy 25 that this was part of the levirate marriage process. So the difference was it wasn't another man that took the sandal. It was the woman who was to be redeemed would take the sandal and spit in the man's face. That was the law in Deuteronomy 25. But obviously, as we talked about last time, where redeemers take away shame, Boaz is doing this in a way where the man is, where not only is Naomi, a Moabite, not receiving shame by trying to be redeemed inside of Israel, but he's also taking shame to the man whose job it is to do it. And so Boaz then receives the right of redemption and buys the land and Ruth. And it's at this time, through this purchase now, Ruth is now redeemed. She has redemption. Boaz has redeemed Ruth. It was through this purchase, and also just thinking about our ideas, Boaz will restore the family line with the marriage and the birth of a child. But for now, we're thinking about the purchase. He purchased the land. He now owns the land. And so I do have a question to ask, because all this language is put in here about redemption and buying and purchasing. But the question I have is, what did Boaz purchase Ruth with? What did Boaz purchase Ruth with? It's actually not in our text that there was an actual price given for the land or for Ruth. In fact, I don't really think back in those days a redemption required money to redeem someone's land or to redeem a property. And maybe we can think about, if we want to place something, maybe the care that he's already given to Ruth and Naomi was a part of the payment or a dowry of some sort. We know back in chapter 3, when he says, I will redeem you, or I will make sure you're redeemed, he then sent Ruth home with a bunch of wheat, with a bunch of barley, and said, we can't send you back to your mother-in-law empty-handed. But it is interesting that if we don't count that, if we don't think about that, if we just try to stick with what's in chapter 4, nothing's actually given. All that has happened is that Boaz has acquired the right of redemption. He is taking that right of redemption. And he says here, like three or four times, he says, I have bought the land. I have bought Ruth. I have made this purchase. And as I was thinking and as I was studying about this, I thought, what exactly is he buying it with? And it's interesting, Boaz, in a sense, is giving his life in exchange for the land and for Ruth. Boaz is giving his life in exchange for the land and for Ruth. And it's not in a dying sacrifice kind of way, but it's in a living sacrifice kind of way. See, Boaz is uniting himself. He's giving himself to Ruth, giving his life and giving his future, giving his inheritance to Ruth. He's giving her everything that she doesn't have. And in giving his entire life to Ruth, he's then uniting himself to Ruth through marriage. And it's interesting, too, what qualifies Boaz to do this? It's his blood, because he's a kinsman. He's a kinsman redeemer. He has the ability to make the purchase because he's a redeemer. He's a related redeemer. And that's where we can see the parallel, the type, the picture of Christ. So as we wrap up our time, I want to think about Christ's purchase. How did Christ purchase and redeem? Boaz as a type of Christ shows us something about the redemption that we all possess in Christ. We are purchased by Christ when he gave his life to be united to ours. Christ gave his life. And as he paid that price for his people, he united himself to those people. His future is the future of his people. His future is the future of his bride. And he also gave his life to purchase us out of our spiritual poverty, out of our sin and our sin debt to God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, it says, knowing that you were ransomed, that's purchased, that's another word for redeemed, from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without spot or blemish. Christ purchased us with his own life so that we could be united to him. He gave himself to his bride. Christ gives us the down payment of this redemption by sending his Spirit to dwell within us. And I want to think about this. Why does it matter? Let's think about, why does it matter that we think about Christ and his redemption as a purchase? Why does it matter that we think that Christ bought a people for himself? And I want to submit to you that it's this, because if Christ purchased us, he owns us. If Christ purchased us, he owns us. This is fundamental. This is extremely important if you want to have any assurance of salvation at all. That Christ bought us for a price and he owns us. In fact, that's the thrust of Isaiah 43. Think about it. It says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. There's ownership because of his purchase. And then it says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. You are God's, and nothing can take you from him. He will not allow anything to steal his precious, prized possession. That thing which he paid so dearly for with the blood of his own son. It's important to understand, if we are purchased by the love of Christ, what can take us away from that? In fact, isn't that the question? That's found in Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And it's because he bought you and owns you. If he owns you, there is nothing in this world. There is no devil, there is no sin, there is no worldly power that truly has a claim upon you and your soul, because you are owned by Jesus Christ himself, who paid the ultimate price. He paid more than anybody could have paid for anything. And therefore, he owns you. Nothing will take God's treasured possession from him. Nothing will snatch us out of his hand. He bought us and he holds on to us. He bought us with a price, and it's because he bought us, he will keep us for all of eternity. We are his workmanship to be displayed for his glory from now until ages have passed and ages have passed and even more ages that we can't even fathom shall pass. God owns us. Just as Boaz redeemed Ruth by purchasing her, Ruth was now his wife. Christ bought his people. We are his bride. And he's preparing a place for us that he will bring us home, and we will live united with him. We will dwell with him for all of eternity as his workmanship for his glory. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that because of your Son and his precious blood, you have redeemed us. You have purchased us. You have put your claim upon us, written your name on us. And we pray that as we think about these things and think about the fact that you own us, you have purchased us, you have the title deed to our souls, that nothing will take your treasured possession away from you. There is nothing more that has a claim upon us. You are the only one who owns us. You are the only one who takes care of us. You are the one who will bring us home one day to enjoy fellowship with you, your Son, and your Spirit. You will be our God, and we will be your people, and we will dwell with you because you have bought us with a price. And in Jesus' name we pray.